Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Trips to the left, the receiver to the right. Tagovailoa drops back to pass, steps up in the pocket. He's going to keep it. He lowers his shoulder, gets down close to the 5-yard line, and he is hit hard.
Oh, no.
He is down on the field. It's a gain of 6. He has a first down, but the concern now is about Tagovailoa, who has battled concussions for most of his career.
It was a harrowing scene of which we are all too familiar. And Dr. Chris Nowinski, who has been a guest on these airwaves many times before, was nice enough to take some time to join us today to talk about what we saw and what it means now in today's NFL and for us football fans. He's on Twitter at Chris Nowinski One. He's the founding CEO of the Concussion Legacy Foundation. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Dr. Chris, thanks for being here today.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for talking about this issue.
What is different now? What is the context of this happening to someone who has had the issues that Tagovailoa has had?
I mean, I think everyone's just more aware of the risks, both long-term and short-term. I think what happened to him 2 years ago when he was in a game he shouldn't have been, I think really woke everyone up that this is a really serious issue. So I think we're all sort of on pins and needles wishing this didn't happen and hoping for the best, but also realizing we're a little powerless on trying to figure out where this is all going to go.
With the risks that we understand football players take, because, you know, we talk about contact sports versus collision sports. Are you surprised that more hasn't been done? Like, I know I was reading a lot about, like, the Guardian caps, right? I think everybody was after something like last night happens. Is enough being done, because it is a violent sport and people are going to get hurt? Concussions are going to happen. Is enough being done in your mind in terms of whether it's the research, whether it's the preventative, and the way everything's being done from a medical standpoint in relation to the NFL?
I mean, on the NFL side, you know, the players have been on this now for 15 years, and they've fought and made the game much safer. They're not hitting in practice anymore. They've got rid of a lot of stupid plays. I mean, I think the new kickoff this year that no one was really begging for, but is absolutely the right move, is a good sign the NFL is actually sort of trying to be innovative on this. So that's good. But, I mean, in the big picture, I also realize that the rest of football is not moving like this. And so while we can feel a little better about the NFL being safer, I don't know if it's going to change long-term outcomes, because if we also don't change college and high school and youth with the same aggressiveness, it's sort of just like a little, it's sort of safety theater a little bit when we talk about big picture long-term outcomes. So, go ahead.
No, I just think it's we have talked before about the aspect of safety theater that comes with almost the idea of referring to it as a concussion issue, when we know that, especially the famous study of West Lafayette High School by Purdue University, while the attention is paid to concussions, the danger is in the accrual of subconcussive hits over time. So is this yet another situation where the word concussion gets out front, but we're not talking about the actual dangers of repeated subconcussive head trauma?
No, I mean, I think that is a great point. Our uncomfortable feeling in our stomach when we watch all this is really more associated with our concerns about long-term health and CTE. You know, most people with concussions will bounce back. And so that is a huge part of the issue, is that, and the other part is that, like, the concussions don't directly correlate, you know, one to one with CT risk. We can't find a statistical association. So it sort of suggests that we just don't know nearly enough about this, and we have a lot more work to do. And I think the other part, you mentioned concussion, you know, we really should be calling these traumatic brain injuries. And there's just another study published last week showing if you call it a brain injury, everyone is far more concerned and is far more conservative in return to play. But we don't. So the NFL, they'll call it a concussion or a head injury. We should be talking about traumatic brain injuries and CTE, but you'll never hear those two terms on the NFL broadcast.
I know Marshall mentioned the Guardian caps, and now we don't look a second time to see him in practice. That's just how guys, that's how NFL players look in practice, which tells me that, like you say, they've taken some agency in protecting themselves in that regard. And we as fans have kind of baked that in, which is a good thing. When do you think we'll get past, we'll cross the Rubicon of them wearing them in games without thinking they look weak or look like a dork?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, the norms have changed over time. We're still not fully endorsing it, just in the sense that the NFL has said they've reduced concussions, but that peer-reviewed study hasn't been published. So any player who hasn't jumped on the bandwagon, I don't think they're wrong. I think you do need to wait for the scientific process to occur. And the guardian cap they're wearing is not the guardian cap that's being sold to youth high school and college. It's very different. And so, but it is, I think it is, it's a great point that the social norms are changing tremendously, and that is a good thing.
From a medical standpoint, if you could see a singular change, whether that's in the NFL or across all football, what would you advocate for?
If we really want to change long-term outcomes so that all the football players we love, that not so many are developing CTE, there's two simple changes. One, we raise the age to the introduce tackling. Those hits, hundreds of hits a year on the developing brain, both creates risk by itself, but I think that the developing brain part is something we should be paying more attention to. And then beyond that, high school and college need to dramatically reform practice like the NFL has, where, fewer than 20% of concussions in the NFL are in practice. But for the last study of college players, it was 70%. Wow. So we're just wasting hits because we're not innovating in how we practice, because the players don't have a union to say, hey, stop putting CT in my brain. Teach me to play football another way. So without those two things, everything else is much smaller. The kickoff change is smaller. The guarding caps are smaller. Those two things need to be laser focused on. And even though they're not NFL level things, they are very much within the NFL's control. We all know they influence and they underrate youth tackle football. And I think that's the way forward, so that we can see our football players live long, healthy lives and not, know that when they start going south, we know what's happening.
Chris, I've had a lot of conversations with doctors that I know, and I got a long email, a heartfelt email from one last night who does work to cover, as they say, high school football games. And the thought from this doctor who says it's jarring to see people get hurt on national TV during an event that's meant to be fun escapism, but at least pro players are better educated about the risks. They get the benefit of the doubt that they have their own health and obviously their economic interests in mind. But how do we, where does the rubber meet the road to who needs to pay more attention to protect these people in public high school football, so public high school football doesn't function as basically a taxpayer-funded brain injury delivery system?
I mean, those are strong words, and they're not untrue. They're not popular. And the answer is I don't know. Like when you actually say that, it's a very unpopular thing to go. It's very bizarre that we put all these kids into high school so we can develop their brain and teach them things, and then we go out and hit them in the head a bunch and lose some of that. Mm-hmm. Like that on paper, that does not make sense. I mean, we can talk about, yeah, we're trying to teach them all these other things, but, at some point, it's fair to say the emperor has no clothes. Like the other sports where they don't get hit in the head 500 times a year, those can teach those things too. There's the reason, football's almost exclusively men. Like, let's respect the fact that women develop into leaders too. Like, so I'm saying that not to kill high school football, but to ask high school football to be better. And to really be aggressive. Like, we do have on paper limits to hitting in practice, but it's not enforced and no one's monitoring it. No one's paying attention. And so it's hard to feel good about that.
If we have a high school parent, high school coaches, administrators listening right now that would like more information from your organization about some of these efforts, what can they do and where should they go?
Go to concussionfoundation.org. And here's a challenge for you. Every high school now in the last 15 years has put together a concussion protocol that's focused on management, not even prevention. We just published last year the first CTE prevention protocol. CT is the number of hits and the strength of hits. It's just a math problem. And so we showed on paper how you reduce CT risk. We put it out there, nobody is reaching out to say, we want to put this in place. You know, I challenge a high school athletic director to reach out. Google CT prevention protocol, reach out to us, and we will help you implement that. But that would be a great step forward to show that you're paying attention and you care about this, and we've moved past the decade of the NFL denying it and misleading the public, and now we can all realize that day's over. Cause and effect is proven. Now let's move forward with protecting our kids.
And I know this has been just your life's work for a long time right now, and appreciate those efforts immensely, and appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts on the score today.
You know, grew up in Chicago, love the score. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.